Hello and welcome to Digital Logic PC Gaming Podcast with Ender's Logic, Flopsy, and your host, Robert Digital. Now turn your game volume down, your earbuds up, and fucking enjoy.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the DL Gaming Podcast. Only three of us here today. I am joined with, joined by Emilio and Chi.
Hello.
Hey.
All the important parts are here today.
Yeah. All the sad parts are gone.
Yeah. Chad has been gone for like a week or something. We could not get him in on this one. So unfortunately, it's just going to be the three of us.
There'll be a lot less people cutting each other off and a lot less fluff.
And I'm trying to get a lot more drunk to add more to this podcast, I feel like.
I'm trying to get a lot less
drunk. I don't know
if
that's what this podcast needs, more intoxication. I think we got
that covered.
We're going
to switch, since Chad's here, we're going to switch up the roles. I'll be Emilio for this podcast, just extra drunk. And okay. You could be Chad, or your best impersonation of Chad.
Okay, it's just like, you don't understand.
Where are you, Chad, by the way?
He is White River Rafting, I believe.
Oh, fun.
Yep.
White River Rafting. All right.
Or at least rafting through, maybe it's not white waters. I think that seems a little intense for him. He's probably on the kiddie pool somewhere. It's one of those endless rivers. Nice. Where they just serve you drinks while you go.
The Lazy River?
Yeah. Those are awesome. Fun.
What kind of floaty do you think he would be floating on?
Definitely some sort of amphibious creature, like a frog, maybe. I can see him.
I would think flamingo, since that's an ongoing theme, being that it's been Pride weekend and flamingos are everywhere.
I just saw a mod for GTA 5 that puts Pride in the game.
Oh,
like,
wow.
Like a Pride parade.
You could.
I don't know if it's a parade,
really,
actually.
That's really
cool. Yeah, it is cool, though.
Yeah. Well, speaking of things going on in San Diego, Comic-Con is coming up. Might be starting by the time this podcast airs. I don't know the exact dates, but if anyone happens to be down for that, attending Comic-Con, you want to hang out or something, hit us up. We'll be around San Diego. I know I got lots of free time. I never really go to Comic-Con directly itself anymore, but I go to all the little events that happen around town. Done quite a few different things. One year they had Video Games Live, which is like video game music in concert. Like they have a whole orchestra playing these songs. That was a lot of fun.
I missed that last year.
They do it. They've been doing it for a long time. It's one guy who kind of does the whole thing, Tommy something or other. But he changes it a little bit each time. That was actually the second time I've seen him, and it was a lot different from when I had first seen him about 6 years ago. So
Comic-Con is they just take over downtown area. Mm-hmm. 400,000 people descend on San Diego, and downtown is not very big. Yeah. So all kinds of things happened last year. My barber moved out of his place for that weekend just so he could Airbnb it.
He
was doing it for $900 a night because he has a loft downtown.
Yeah. Insane.
Bobby could walk to, Bobby, you should do that.
Yeah,
move in here.
Well, it's against my lease, but I don't know if they catch me.
Yeah, they're not going to catch you.
Yeah.
But yeah, $900 a night, dude. You, from where you're at, you could probably get six or seven, probably.
Yeah, possibly. I could make a lot of money, but that'd be a lot of work. And then where would I play video games?
And then the other thing was,
Chi B&B, just have my place and I'll stay over at my boyfriend's. I'm actually doing that
right
a lot these days. Only to friends and family, and it's free. So,
So don't ask, fuckers.
Yeah. All right. So Comic-Con happening. Also, we have an episode of the Game Club coming up. It'll probably be released shortly after this episode, where we talk in depth about Gone Home. Kind of a short game, kind of a short episode, but really good nonetheless. Lab Monkey joined us for that, and we had a lot of fun doing that. Up next, our next game is going to be Transistor, which was recently on sale on Steam. So be sure to pick that up, play it along, and be part of the conversation.
I'm really excited about Transistor as a pick. I think I initially dropped that before it went on sale. Name dropped that before it went on sale.
Yeah, yeah, you did. And Chad played it for a little bit, and he really liked it. He never finished it, though.
And I'm in the same boat. I think I played 75% of the game. I don't know if I liked it as much as Chad, but I'm excited to revisit it because it is a very popular game, and you know, I want to give it another shot.
I know the soundtrack inside out, and I just want to re-experience the soundtrack through the game. So that's what I'm looking forward to, for sure.
Cool. A quick tip on the game, Game Club. Generally, you want to play the game before you listen to the podcast. I mean, talk about spoilers. It goes beyond spoilers. It's like spoilers and Easter eggs and we talk about everything.
Yeah, we all sit in a circle with our Snape Dies t-shirts on and Red Wedding.
I feel like you could, listen to our, episode on, BioShock and still go back and play it and be fine. Gone home, like the whole thing. Definitely play it beforehand. It only takes an hour or two.
Yeah, highly recommended on that game.
Yep.
All right, we're going to be giving away $20, Steam gift card, $20, giving it away on Twitter. Make sure you follow us on Twitter. It's digital_logic with a K. So be sure you're following there. And Emilio, I believe you'll be handling the giveaway on that.
Yeah.
How do you win a giveaway on Twitter?
So I'll have a special post, and as long as they retweet, they're entered. So I'll send it out. Look for that tweet coming out after this podcast, sometime after this, maybe on Wednesday or Thursday. And all you have to do is retweet the right link, and you will be entered. So that's at DL. That's at digital_logic with a K.
Yep.
Yep.
So we got a couple of games that came out this week or are coming out, and I thought we'd bring a few of them up. Not too many this time, but some really exciting ones. I have seen quite a few people on my friends list playing nonstop this game called Rimworld. It's kind of hard to pronounce.
Has something to do with salad tossing?
The story of last night.
It's funny how everyone immediately goes there. Yeah.
And I'd be lying. Or has been there.
Well, yeah. What happens on Rim World? Rim jobs, obviously.
It's a magical place.
Where we explain nothing but facts about these games, right?
Yep.
Yeah. DL Gaming.
And if you don't know what that is, Google it.
But not when your parents
are
around.
Not when you're at work or around your parents, yeah. But Rim World, it appears to be a game a lot of people have likened it to... Prison Architect and a few other games. And apparently it's in early access, but it is incredibly popular on Twitch.
But this is the game where it's a space colony that you're trying to build up. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. So I just read a little highlight about this. They were doing the early access, or still are, or whatever, but then they kept telling people to go to their website and buy their game so that they can keep all the money and Steam doesn't take their portion. Mm-hmm. But then you'd be able to get your Steam key there and then go to Steam and unlock it, right? Mm-hmm. So you're trying to support the developer and you're giving them 20% more, or what is it that Steam takes? Is it 30?
30%.
Yeah, 30%. So, you know, I wouldn't mind giving them an extra 30, but that little plan backfired. And basically the developer said, I didn't know how good these hackers are. And like right away, you know, his keys were all over the place and they were losing thousands of dollars or potentially thousands of dollars. So they had to shut that down right away. And now you could only buy it on Steam. So, you know, 30% seems super steep, but you're getting so much with it. And part of that is protection of your passcodes, and you know you're paying for the whole system there. It's not just the advertising.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And you know, I've heard so many success stories through Steam for games that, you know, don't even necessarily get the most positive of reviews, but just because they made it to the front page on Steam, like, it's amazing. It's the reason why Steam is the only known powerhouse of PC gaming.
Yeah.
And I don't blame, I kind of see why it happened, and you can almost anticipate that happening as well.
For sure.
I'm asking for them to purchase through their website.
You know, so. It's funny, like, I guess when you're talking about indie guys like this, you're almost talking about artists, right? Because they're making like an art thing. And for throughout history, artists have never been particularly good at business. Mm-hmm. You know, they're all wrapped up. They're so wrapped up in what they're creating that you don't really think about the money side of it very much. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, people take advantage of people like that. So it's good in a way. Here we go again. Just Steam fanboys.
Yeah.
I know 30% is deep, or steep, but you're getting a lot for it.
Yeah. It's unfortunate, but to me, it's almost expected that something like that would happen. It kind of reminds me of the whole Beyonce and Lemonade album.
What happened there?
Well, nothing bad happened there, but they basically released Lemonade, this visual album, and the only way to watch it and or listen to it outside of torrenting it, is to download and subscribe to Jay-Z's version of Spotify.
Oh, the new one?
Yeah. Mm, so I'm not, I don't even recall.
So did it end up getting torrented like crazy?
And I think they, well, of course, that's, I feel like that's, something where I personally myself pirated it, but I feel like they would probably still have earned a huge portion of whatever they did if they just, you know, released it on Spotify and YouTube or anything else. I wonder if they lost some of their market or if it was a huge success.
I wonder how that's, what's that, the name of that service? Anybody know? I know it's
Jay-Z's thing. I have no idea.
It has a cool name. Of course.
What's that? I know that one that Neil Diamond or something has, Pongo, something like that. I don't know. But the smartest thing, one of the smartest things I've ever heard anybody say was in an interview that where Gabe Newell was talking about taking Steam to Russia. And he kind of, to cut it short, he basically said piracy is a service problem. And he went on to explain that if you give somebody a better alternative to piracy, they will take that and they will pay for it.
100%.
Like that's, that kind of rings true for something like this. I mean, it's, I know I pirated quite a bit of stuff, but if you give me something like Netflix, like Steam that saves my games and keeps track of all this stuff, has a social networking aspect to it, yeah, then I'm more likely to actually pay for something.
I stopped pirating when Steam became ubiquitous with PC
gaming.
Yeah, I
don't think I've ever... I think with CS 1.5 turning into 1.6 and Steam being launched, that's when I got the slap, you know, on the, like on the wrist with, hey, both you and your brother can't play the same game. Right. So you have to buy your own version of the game. And after that, Steam, of course, not being the best
at the time. God damn it.
I've never pirated video games, to be honest, but any music, and anything else?
I would say up until about maybe 4 years ago, I was pirating almost everything. And then like you get so much, you get all this service, you know, you get reviews and cloud saving and all your updates are automatically, and it just goes on and on and on. Sure. Yeah. And they have pretty good deals from time to time.
And it's a great community on top of that too. And like you said, it eliminates the, basically the incentive to pirate.
But as far as this game goes, looks like poop to me.
It doesn't really look that great. It says it's inspired by Dwarf Fortress, which we talked a little bit about last week, and that's another game that has a strong following but has notoriously bad graphics, like purposefully bad. It's like ASCII art almost. But yeah, it doesn't look like much, but the reviews are really solid. It's overwhelmingly positive. It's described as a sci-fi colony sim driven by an intelligent AI storyteller.
Wow.
It sounds really interesting. I watched somebody play it on Twitch for about 5 minutes and I couldn't really get a grasp for the game. So I don't know. There must be something to this that I'm not seeing just yet, but the reviews can't lie.
Cool. You going to check it out then, Bobby?
I might. It's $29.99 for the base game right now, but there's several other packs. Like if you buy it for $45, you get your name in the game. If you spend $125, you get a backstory. They have all these different, basically like pledge markers for it. If you hit a certain amount, you get extra features. But I don't know. I'm seriously considering it.
They have a $200 version called the Pirate King Pack. Just so you know, on Patreon, we have a $200 marker. I think I'm going to change that to the Pirate King Patreon level.
Really? That's awesome.
You're now the Pirate King. Oh, I don't know, even know if you know about it. So if they pledge, we all hang out, right? Yeah, yeah.
Hang out, uh-huh. And they now get a Pirate King costume.
Yeah.
Okay.
And strippers and cocaine and whatever else.
Wait, we're taking them to Tijuana?
Exactly.
Pirate King of TJ. No, but just going back to the whole Comic-Con thing, I'm really interested in what Bobby had to say, even though I feel like living in San Diego, being so close to Comic-Con is like a young Midwestern girl's dream. But I still haven't pursued ever getting a ticket just because I hear they're impossible to get. Mm. So you're saying you can go to Comic-Con and not go to Comic-Con and still kind of enjoy Comic-Con? Is that what you're saying, Absolutely. Bobby?
Oh, totally.
Yeah. I mean, last year I went and saw Doug Love's movies podcast at the Comedy Club. I was telling you, I went to that concert the year before. Mm. 1 year I went to a table reading for Bob's Burgers. I might be doing that this year for Rick and Morty, or it's something like that. Adult Swim's doing this whole thing. Usually Patton Oswalt does a show, although he probably won't be this year because of his wife's passing. But
oh my God, what happened?
Oh yeah, his wife died like 2 months ago. Jeez. Or a month ago. Yeah, dude, just all of a sudden, abruptly, it's real, real sad.
Wow.
Yeah. But if you check, like, they've got American Comedy Co. that does like some real small stuff that's great, but they also got the Civic Center where like they have the big presentations. And I kicked myself in the ass for not going and see Bo Burnham last year. I should have done that.
Oh, he's so great.
Yeah. And that new comedy special that he did is on Netflix right now. And it's spectacular.
I watched that very recently.
Yeah. I could have seen that live. It would have been that's something that you actually want to be present for. There are things like in his comedy that just doesn't translate on video. So I really wish I would have done that. Tickets at that place are like starting at $60 though, so it's kind of pricey.
Gee, you haven't even been like downtown during Comic-Con?
No, I've never.
Dude, go with your man.
Bobby,
go sit down. No, just sit down and people watch. That's half of the fun. Everybody's in cosplay.
We should right look next at the official stop, Comic-Con so. Dates. What are the official Comic-Con dates?
Yeah, I'll look it up as we move on to something
else.
Like,
hi, my name is Chi and I'm the worst San Diegan. So
it's so much
if
fun.
If you guys want to go hang out downtown Comic-Con, Let me know. Hit us up.
You don't need tickets. You can just come and have fun.
Yep.
That's actually what's going to happen come TwitchCon. TwitchCon is happening in San Diego in September.
I know that.
Yeah.
I think Chad brought a ticket.
Oh, he did already. The tickets are fair. They're very fair. In fact, I think they want more people to come to this.
Yeah, he got it for really cheap, but he only got like a 1 or 2 day one. And it wasn't like the deluxe edition that has extra stuff.
So I will be most likely attending TwitchCon. And most likely it'll be last minute and impulsive for me, like purchasing the ticket. But I have so many people that would support me going. So
nice.
I'm pretty excited about that. But that's all the way out in September. It looks like here and now, July 21st to the 24th is official Comic-Con weekend.
What's so weird, too, is I've seen so many celebrities down here during Comic-Con. Like, they all just flock here for this event.
I had some of the cast of Always Sunny in Philadelphia in my loft. Bobby, the loft downtown.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You won't release names? That's amazing.
Yeah.
Well, you know who they are. He said some of the cast.
Yeah. What was the other thing I was going to say? Last year somebody gave me 2 tickets to Comic-Con as a tip for driving them in Lyft. And I sold them.
No way.
I had to sell them.
Oh, you had to sell them. How much were they?
$400.
Wow.
I got for 2 tickets.
Wow.
For 2 1-day passes.
Yeah.
That's great.
All right, so
let's get to the second game.
Start talking about games here. So some more games that are coming out or have come out. ILM X-Lab Trials on Tatooine. I just saw this featured on Steam today. This is a VR experience, a Star Wars experience. Free. It's like 2.5 gigs, and it's pretty short as far as content goes. But you basically, in virtual reality, fight off with your lightsaber a bunch of enemies and protect the droid, watch the Millennium Falcon fly in. It looks pretty cool. Like,
it looks really good. Yeah.
It's the first VR that is related to Star Wars
that I know of. Yeah. At least that's been released. I think somebody teased some other stuff, but yeah. And it just looks fucking so sweet. And I'm sure it's, you know, it only has 81%. I think it was maybe because it was so short, but it's like, it's free, people, and it looks awesome.
Yeah, I mean, I read some of the reviews. Some people were complaining about some things not looking too great, but I think this is a pretty good like a pretty polished experience because it comes from ILM, which is Industrial Light and Magic. They've pretty much invented like CGI and special effects. So they know what they're doing.
Yeah, I was going to bring that up. For the younger generation, if you don't know what ILM used to hold as much cred as Pixar does these days.
Wow.
But yeah, ILM, they were... Basically, I think George Lucas created it.
Look up what they did. They did everything. Jurassic Park. Like the first thing that ever had like special effects was like a Sherlock, I think young Sherlock Holmes, where a thing jumped out of like a painting. What are those painting or those windows in cathedrals?
Stained glass.
Yeah. Something like that. But Terminator 2 was like the first time they ever really made it a big part of the movie. And like ever since then, like Dragonheart was also a landmark. Like you got to find a documentary on ILM. It was the most interesting story you've ever heard.
Wait, they have one?
I don't know.
Oh,
I just know
you got to find one.
I mean, I could probably,
it might not exist, but good luck, suckers.
They should make one though, because they seriously like were a cornerstone in the movie making industry. Like they changed movies big time, and they still do. Like they still do quite a bit of stuff. So the fact that they've got a department that works on games, like I'm really leaning towards buying a Vive, not on this alone. I've been kind of on the fence about it recently, but I don't know. I really do want to play that.
Well, it's good that the titles that are coming out are even more attractive than what's already been released. And I'm sure it's going to get better and better. Yeah.
Nobody even knows what they're doing yet.
I'm pretty sure the momentum of that. I think once they find something that works or something that just shocks and awes, it's like a snowball down a hill.
And once you buy it, Bobby, you're going to leave it here, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I still don't know where Bobby lives. So it's one of those things where we'll have
When you're passing downtown and you look up in the sky, he lives way up in one of those buildings.
You know, when I was flying back
a few weeks ago,
I could see my building. I could see my unit on the plane as I was flying in. If you come from anywhere from the east, which is pretty much everywhere, except if you're coming from
Hawaii.
The north. Yeah, or Hawaii, then yeah, you will pass right by my building. Just text me. I'll come out and wave.
That's cool.
I put this one on here just because I like the original so much. 10 Second Ninja X. Do you remember, Emilio, you played 10 Second Ninja, right?
No, I think it was Chad that played it.
Oh.
I played something very similar.
I really like this game. It's a real simple game where you play as a little animated ninja and you have 10 seconds to complete. It's like Super Meat Boy, but you only have 10 seconds. So you've got to do it really, really quick. You got to kill guys. You got to hop over spikes. You got to do jumping puzzles. And it's a really fast paced, like very Super Meat Boy like game that I really enjoyed. And apparently this came out like years and years ago. I'm surprised to see, March 2014, but I guess they're making a new version of it called 10 Second Ninja X.
I always thought 10 Second Ninja were like guys that come too quick.
Oh my God.
Yeah. You made that joke the first time I mentioned this game. I had a feeling it was going to come up again.
That's 10 Second Ninja Triple X.
Triple X. There you go.
That's good.
That could be a mod for that game.
Right.
They actually, this game was in a Humble Bundle maybe a year ago, and they released the source code for it too, which I thought was really cool. It was part of a bundle that was like a Game Maker bundle. So they actually released the source code to it as well. So you could make that mod.
Every time I make a joke, I look at Bobby's face, and I saw that he was cracking a smile already. Oh, I was like, I got him with this one. But no, he's laughing at my absurdity that I can't even remember my own jokes. Oh, and by the way, I just want to let you all know what a narcissist I am. Every time I listen back to every episode, I only laugh at my own jokes.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You find none of us funny.
Yeah. No, well, sometimes. But generally, I laugh. I'm like an idiot. Like, I laugh at my own jokes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess I'm hilarious to myself only.
Oh, boy.
Do you laugh along with yourself? Maybe you just enjoy laughing.
No, because it's funny. Because if I make a joke on the podcast, I think it's funny. So I laugh right after I make the joke. Uh-huh. And then in real life, when I'm listening to it again, it's the exact same laugh because I find it just as funny. You guys don't know how great life is when you don't remember anything.
When you love yourself that much.
Yeah. Everything's so fresh and new every time it happens. Like right now, I was like, 10 second ninja. Gosh.
It's like sober me loves drunk me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
That's awesome. And that's why we record ourselves. So it's basically for.
Oh, I'm not sober when I listen. I only listen when I'm driving.
Oh, okay. What? Oh my gosh. Another joke. You're going to laugh at that one later. Believe it.
All right. Next game up is Lovely Planet Arcade. Again, another game that had come out maybe a year, 2 years ago, and they're coming out with a newer version of it.
Yeah. So this is coming out the 22nd of July and is not exactly like the first one. So they're taking out the Y axis. So you can only go left and right. You can only aim left or right. Gee, I know this looks terrible, but this is like the first one was you're like hopping through a 3D environment trying to hit targets and beat the global score. And this one, I don't know. It's a little more like Doom 1994.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is very simple. The artwork, just from looking at it, it reminded me a little bit of jazz punk. If you ever played that.
Oh, yeah.
But Jazz Punk,
really a shooter, though.
Is that 3D,
it
though?
It wasn't a shooter.
Yeah, it was 3D.
Oh, it is? I never played it. It looked too weird.
It was just very colorful. There's lots of things on the screen. Plenty, more than enough to take a look at. But Jazz Punk actually had a story. This one is just a simple shooter.
Again, this is like a time trial thing, like 10 Second Ninja. At least the original Lovely Planet was, where you're trying to beat times and there's global scoreboards.
Okay.
And that's really where the fun of it came from, because you know you could always do things a little bit better. And then it's basically like a speed run trainer, if anything. Yeah. Because you could find out, oh, if I do this, or if I jump right here and I bounce over there, that'll shave 2 seconds off my time.
Okay.
Like it was.
It was really popular, too.
Like, how much are these games going for?
Hopefully not too much with these graphics.
They don't have a price yet for this one. It's coming out July 22nd, pretty soon. But Lovely Planet,
which I've always wanted to try.
$6, but it's been cheaper before, too. But it's definitely worth $6.
Does it have a little bit of, what's that game where we're fighting against the monsters and you, Devil Daggers? Some of that global appeal?
Yeah.
Bobby?
That real arcade-y style.
Yeah.
All right. So that's it for games that have recently come out or are coming out. A lot of good ones out there. Like every single one of those I'm kind of interested in.
So, Chi, I think we know a lot of what we're about to talk about. If you have any questions, because I think you're probably not as familiar with any of these, please ask away, because maybe somebody else doesn't know about these games.
No, we'll do. We'll do.
Cool. So I played Anarcuity. I think it's play on words on anarchy. It's a story about rioting and overthrowing the man, but it's done with a really cute, you're all animals.
Yeah.
It's like bunnies and cats and rabbits and shit. And you're getting together and you're tearing the city apart and fighting against the man.
Is this a single player or multiplayer game?
Is a single player. The thing that it reminded me the most of is Katamari Damacry, because, or how's Bobby say it?
Katamari Damacy?
Damacy.
Damacy. Is it Damacy?
Damacy is what Chad always says.
Yeah. Katamari Damacy.
Yeah, something like that. So you're trying to grow the size of your riot. So you're running around and freeing other people, and your riot gets bigger and bigger. Which makes you stronger and stronger, but also it makes you like larger, like more voluminous, so you can get hit by more stuff, right?
Oh,
so,
I see.
Yeah. And then if you get hit, you know, some of your dudes die and they make this cute little like sound.
Oh.
Yeah. And they're like little bodies are laying there.
That reminds me of Pikmin. Have you ever played that?
No, I never played it for the GameCube was the first one.
I believe it was for GameCube. It was one of my favorite games of all time. It was one of those games where I just couldn't put the controller down. So you're in this game, you're going around, you're picking up people. Do they just follow you around?
Yeah, they automatically follow them. There is no you. I guess you would be maybe just one, but it doesn't matter which one it is, whichever one is left.
I wonder how much games like Ajario and Slither.io have to do with this? Because those games, if you don't know what those games are, look them up online. That's the actual website where you play them. But they're these games where you start out as a circle or a snake and you go around this map, and it's online and everyone else is playing too. And you absorb other things and you become bigger and people try to like take you out. And the idea is just to grow and grow and grow. And these games are incredibly popular with like younger kids. Like they play that shit all the time.
It's just like one of those mindless games where you could do anything else.
Yeah, and it's on the web, so you know it's completely accessible.
A lot of Twitch streamers play Agario. Yeah, it's like an in-between game. Yeah, this one I see the cuteness appeal.
Yeah,
I think they did really good with the name on this one, and it looks like you can. I just saw the riders throw things, so it looks like you do more than just run around. Because in Katamari, you would just roll around, and that was your only the movement button was the only button you really needed. This one here, it seems like you have to go through puzzles. Is that correct?
More action based. It's okay. Like you can. When you hit a certain population in your riot, you can do like a charge attack. You can do dash. It's almost like you're one, you're all working as one thing, really. And then later in the levels, there were some stealth levels where you're only just one. You're just one little guy and you're trying to avoid the light and stuff. But I hate stealth levels and that's where I quit. But, it wasn't the greatest game. I thought it was okay. If all this sounds pretty appealing to you, then check it out. It's definitely not terrible. It just,
it's only got about 80 reviews, but it's very positive. Yeah. Top reviews just says fluff the police.
It appeals to the Harajuku girl inside of me. That's for sure. It is super kawaii.
Yeah, for sure. Check it out. What else we got? Bobby.
I played Black Mesa, beat it today. Really enjoyed this game. I haven't played the original Half-Life in a good 10-15 years.
Never finished the first one.
Really?
No.
Wow.
This is one of these things where my computer took a shit when I was at the end, you know?
Oh, yeah. See, Half-Life might be my second most, the second game that I've completed the most times. The first one, of course, being Dark Forces 2, but I think I've completed Half-Life 3 or 4 times.
That's awesome.
The last boss, it's like a big brain or something.
Yeah, well here's
spoiler
the problem.
Alert. No, I'm just kidding.
Here's the problem with Black Mesa, though. It ends on the Lambda Corps mission right when you jump in the portal to go to Zen. So a lot like Doom or some other games, there's a part near the end of Half-Life where you go into the alien world, you do a few puzzles and fight a few aliens there, then you come back. You don't spend a whole lot of time there, but then you come back and then you have the big boss finale. All that is not in the game yet. This game is still in early access. It's not yet completed. It is amazing what they've accomplished with this. I mean, the original Half-Life, if you go back and play it now, it's one of those games where you can recognize this is a really good game, but the graphics just keep me from enjoying it. And Black Mesa takes that out of the equation.
They're not fantastic graphics. They're just source.
I'm kind
graphics.
Of glad that they're not. Like they didn't like shave off, you know, polish it to an extreme. Like it's like Valve, Half-Life 2, maybe Left 4 Dead type graphics.
You want to cater to the nostalgia all the same.
Yeah, it's playable. Like
and
this.
How recent did they create Black Mesa?
This has been a project for like the last, 5 years or something?
And it's still not completed, you said.
No. These guys I think they put it on Steam. Like, it used to be a mod or like an add-on.
Yeah,
or
it was like free when it just came out.
Yeah, a free game that you could get, but it wasn't completed. And then, like, the community really jumped in and helped on this. Like, even Zen, that level exists as a community made mod, so I could play it technically, but they haven't fully integrated it into the game. But they said that they're going to put that in when they bring in deathmatch as well, so it's going to be totally like Half-Life with just, you know,
really
a little
cool.
Better looking. And they changed a few things. Like, you can tell the scientists' voices they're a little bit different, and they use some lines of dialogue that I don't think were in the original game. And maybe like a crater barrel is moved here or there, but for the most part, this is exactly the same game. And this, like, speaking of that, this game totally holds up. Like, Half-Life, if that game were to come out today, if we had never had Half-Life and it just happened to come out today, like, people would be all over it.
With today's graphics, though.
Yeah, with today's graphics.
Right.
I mean, the gameplay just totally holds up. It balances so many things. Like, it's crazy to see a game like this that started so many other trends, but it balances perfectly, like, puzzles, like first person shooting and also just like story too, right? And downtime.
The story is amazing. The mystery behind even who you are is a huge appeal. I fell in love with Gordon Freeman. If I had a video game husband, it would be him. Beard, glasses, like lumber sexual type of scientist. I don't know. He's the complete package. Are you still Gordon Freeman in Black Mesa? So it is just a Half-Life story recreate.
Oh yeah. Yeah. It's okay. Exactly like Half-Life.
Oh, okay. It's shot for shot. This is a complete recreation of the first game.
For the most part.
Updated graphics.
That's very like just little.
Mostly graphics.
Much. Yeah. Very little has changed. Yeah. But okay. Yeah. And I was a big fan of even the other games that came after Opposing Force and Blue Shift.
Pretty sure it was Blue Shift.
Opposing Force, a little note on that. That was the first game by Gearbox. That's where they got their start. But the
Gearbox is
they started off with modders, right?
Borderlands. Yeah. What's that new one that they did?
Rift? Not Rift. I'm sorry.
Battleborn.
Brink.
Battleborn.
No, who made Brink? Do you remember that failure of a launch? Mm-hmm.
I remember Brink. The same guys that made that other shooter that came out recently that I didn't like. I can't remember them. I'll look it up. But the thing that I liked about the story with Black Mesa was you feel like you are not... You kind of are like playing a big part in what's going on, but at the same time, all this shit is going down and you happen to be caught in the middle of it. And they played that out even more in Opposing Force and then even more in Blue Shift, where you just happen to be a cop or a security guard stuck in the middle of all this. But I like how, like, the game just escalates. It does that so perfectly. You start out and you're just walking down the hall, sipping coffee, talking to scientists. Mm-hmm. Next thing you know, you have an accident and these little creatures are running around. Then there's bigger creatures. Then the military comes in and tries to kill everybody. And then like there's a strange G-Man dude walking around. And then like the game just gets bigger and bigger and bigger until it turns into this like giant fucking flaming ball of chaos. But it's amazing that they were able to do that like so far back in the day, and yet so many people can't master that now. Like I'm astounded by it.
Yeah.
So yeah, Black Mesa, highly recommend it. I think it's like $30, $20 on Steam.
What else we got next?
Splash Damage was the developer for Brink. Let's see. Divinity: Original Sin.
Man, we've been playing. Not crazy, but 5-6 hours this
week. I'm jealous that you guys have been playing together. I swear we have to organize a co-op date or something. Yeah. Not an actual
you should
date,
get on our like, Discord. That seems to be the best way. Like it's like a chat room or voice chat, but we've been using that for comms when we play games. But it's also just a good hangout, you know, just to let people know that you're available. And like, you know, like I use Curse a lot with the people I play Heroes of the Storm with. If I get on Curse and they know that I'm available for a game. But Discord is kind of serving that purpose as well, too.
If you haven't been invited to our Discord, there's probably a reason for that. No, I'm totally kidding.
It's probably public, and is it listed in our Steam page?
We haven't really set it up, because right now only a few people have access. But if we should post it in the Steam group and then kind of put the restrictions in the rooms and like do all that stuff so we can moderate it.
But, when you say we, you know you mean you, Bobby.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe
we can get Chad to do that. I don't know.
What I noticed on this playthrough this time is that when they do specific abilities, they have specific things that they call out because of it. That seemed completely new to me, even after the enhanced edition, Bobby. So, like, when you do your battering ram, it goes, I run, you fall down. I love this game. And stuff like that. It's fucking... that's one of maybe 15 new ones that I've heard where, like, sometimes I'll freeze guys and, you know, they'll just do these cheesy one-liners, but because you never heard it before, it's awesome. This game just got even better.
With Divinity, do you guys pick your class?
You create your class. So this is a little interesting side note. So you create your guy, mm-hmm. and then you create your... other guy, right? And you could do that single player, and then they give you a pick of like 5 other players. And so you have a group of 4, but some of them are pre-set up.
Okay.
Except for the 2 that you built. Does that make sense?
Okay, so there's one main hero, which now,
there's
you?
There's a pair.
There's two.
The pair is a main. Then
and you customize those however you want, or you can pick from a template. But then when you're in the game, you can pick up two more party members, and they have your typical archetypes. They have like a warrior, they have a hunter, they have
just
a mage.
Just to complete the party.
Or you can take what we've done on this playthrough, which is really exciting. As many times as I've played this game, no playthrough has ever been the same. But what we're doing on this one is that we've taken the lone wolf talent for each of us, which means we can't have a party member, but we become more powerful. And I really like playing this way more because I feel like it goes faster. The combat goes faster.
Dude, that last fight we just did was too much.
Yeah. That's kind of the first boss fight, Brachus Rex, the first big boss.
No, not that one. That was fun.
Were you guys dying repeatedly? What do you mean?
Yeah, he was.
No. All right, calm down, Bobby. This guy's decked out. He looks like Reinhardt from Overwatch.
What classes are you guys then?
Emilio has like, what are you, a mage or you're a Hydrosophist.
Yeah. So you're just squish.
But you do like all the important stuff, all the CC, and CC crowd control is incredibly important.
All you fight is groups in this. You never fight something by itself. Yeah. Okay. And he always has five
The hardest
friends.
Part about the combat is like not letting the enemy hit you like 20 fucking times. Yeah. So you have to constantly freeze them, knock them down, blind them, do whatever you can just to keep them controlled. So, yeah, I run out there and I swing the sword around and I chop their heads off, but he's in the back doing the heels, doing the blinds, all that.
Okay, so he's doing all of the bitch work.
Yeah. If you continue with Hydrosophist, you will get very powerful. You're going to get really powerful. Fun.
Dude, I have this one called Teleport. So if a dude does get to me, I'll teleport him on top of one of his friends and he'll fall on one time and they'll both fall down and sometimes they'll both be CC'd for one turn just because like his friend just fell out of the sky on top of him,
that's,
you know?
Awesome.
But I used to fuck up and drop it on Bobby's head on accident.
Oh my gosh, that's hilarious.
Or like say Bobby's, he's like, he'll tell
is
me.
Is there friendly fire then?
Sometimes. Yeah.
And I accidentally healed one of the enemies one time.
Oh, like Whoa. Last night you did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I made like three mistakes in a row. And that's the biggest problem with this game. The complaint that we've had from the beginning is it's so hard to click on exactly what you want to click on because some enemies will be kind of wavering, swaying back and forth. So you have to kind of like time the click on them. It's not like purely grid based like XCOM where it's obvious I want to click on this specific grid. Like you hover over a character and it highlights them. It puts this red border around them. And then maybe if they move for a half a second, you miss them.
You're making it sound harder than it is.
Is it live action?
We're not fucking
up constantly. Because XCOM is turn based.
This is turn-based as well.
Yeah, turn-based.
You still miss.
But it's still miss. That sounds so embarrassing.
It sounds so bad.
It's mostly out of...
It's like clicking on computer chess. Well, that's weird.
A standard fight has probably 250 to 500 clicks. You're going to fuck up once or twice.
Yeah. You have to be very precise. Like, you have to, like, every time I go to click on the enemy, I'm like, okay, and click. Like, you have to really pay attention to it.
And you think that's part of what they were going for, Bobby?
I mean, it could be.
Yeah.
And that's just the combat, too. There's so much more to this game. This game reminds me of why I could never play WoW again, because this game pretty much is WoW on a smaller scale and with a beginning and an end. Like, you can't just go on. Well, I guess you could, but you can't really just go on forever in this game. But I get the same thing out of it as I did with WoW. Like,
that's
when
awesome.
We play, it's only for like an hour or two, and comparatively, we really don't get that much done. We have like maybe two fights. We do like a quest and a half.
Yeah.
Like, we really don't do that much, but it's not really about what you get done. It's just like this world that you're in and you're doing these things in it.
No matter what, you feel a sense of accomplishment.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's why I play video games. And I apologize. I'm not talking a lot about the games here. I am asking a lot of questions because this week, I will be unshamefully honest. I've only really continued to have played The Sims. So.
Wow.
And that's.
did you stream it?
No, I did not.
Is
because
this probably not something streamable really? Or
no, what? I could totally stream it. It's just that I
don't want to see what you're doing.
I tell my viewers I'm a gamer first, streamer second. And sometimes when I just want to be with my morning face on and with whatever condition my room is in, people see Smoochie is different from the real Chi. Like, Smoochie is dolled up. She's well composed, and like I'm playing my games and I'm entertaining.
Streaming is
at the
a
same
performance.
Time. Like, it really is, and it's exhausting. I wake up the next morning exhausted. So when I'm wanting to just chill and relax, I actually game more than I stream. So if I'm streaming a lot, that means I'm gaming a lot, and if I'm not streaming at all, that means I'm It's probably means I'm like, I'm in the back works playing some video games too. Just Yeti mode.
Gee, I think every week there's like two or three games where you're like, oh yeah, I should play that. And we recommend it. Like,
and I do play it actually.
Yeah, you have been. Yeah.
Yeah, I have been.
Now, this is one, you're talking what, 80, 90 hours?
Bobby? Mm-hmm. And I want to do it because
it's
this
so
is co-op.
Good.
This is the perfect excuse to get my boyfriend to play.
And you can play on a controller. You guys can play on a controller.
This is a tough game to start someone out on, though.
Like, oh, is it?
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty involved. I don't know.
Is there a difficulty levels, Bobby?
And not that it's difficult. There's just a whole lot to it. Like, this is WoW back in the old day before they gave you quest markers and made everything super easy for you.
Yeah.
Like, this, you have to actually, like, talk to people.
Especially
like,
the first 2 hour, hour, two
there's
hours.
Not a lot of combat in the first no. 2 hours.
So yeah. It drags on to
at
develop the story.
Yeah, really bad.
Okay.
Yeah.
But, so not a good game to introduce a
but
casual
gee, think
to.
About this. So, like, if somebody throws down acid and you're standing in acid. Mm-hmm. That's liquid, but it's also flammable, right? So if you cast a fireball, you're fucked because
oh, yeah.
you're going to light yourself on fire. But if somebody does lightning, it's a liquid. So that's conductive. So it's going to, anybody else standing in the acid is going to get electrocuted as well. And all those people
that's
are going
really
to get
cool.
stunned. So they're going to stand around. But then if the fire hits the acid, it's going to make an acid cloud. And now nobody
oh.
can see each other. And
really like being the mage in this one.
I'm just saying regular stuff that happens in every fight. Like
that's really cool.
All these elements are going on, and somebody might be standing near a water barrel, and you could shoot the water barrel, put out your friend that's on fire.
That
it
is
goes
really
on
cool.
and
so
on.
Is it yeah. important that you guys have good communication as you're
totally.
Playing this game? Are you
that's
guys
why,
over voiceover?
Bobby, how long was that fight last night?
What, the Brax Rex?
No, you keep bringing that. I'm the one we're protecting the fucking.
Oh, the one with Alfie.
Alfie, yeah. That one went way
yeah,
too long,
the first quest you get in Silver Glen is an escort quest. And yeah, that took forever because there was like six enemies. And we had just the two of us and then the people we were escorting. But yeah, you got to think of things like that. And eventually you get a lot better at it. But a lot of times what would happen is I'd stab a bunch of people with my big sword and their blood would get all over the ground. Emilio would try to electrocute them and that electricity would travel through the blood and shock me as well and stun me too.
Isn't that crazy?
You kind of learn.
He would cut them, make them bleed. I would shock and then the blood on the floor conducts all the electricity.
What's crazy is the lack of sex jokes coming from you, Emilio, as he's talking about all of this.
I know. I'm really into this game. That's why.
As he's speaking about this, all I'm thinking about is like, I bet that's on his Tinder profile. It's like, I'll stab you with my big sword.
You know what that we do? How do you think he got his girlfriend?
Okay. I swear like 50% of relationships are Tinder related these days anyways.
It's true.
Tinder or Pokemon now.
Yeah, no, so I go to the Chive a lot for like entertainment. That's my go-to website for just entertainment. And their offshoot is the Berry. But anyway,
isn't that funny? Because the Chive was originally parodying The Onion, right?
Oh, yeah, is that what? Oh, really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I
know.
The that.
Onion is parroting everything.
Everything else, yeah.
Okay.
And the Berry is like a girl site, but anyway, I fell for the clickbait about Pokemon being used to bang. That's what it said.
No.
Pokemon Go being used to fuck is what the headline was. So I clicked on it.
Yeah, if you're
and
a
yeah, guys are going up
to
girls.
Children.
No, guys.
I'm
are,
sorry, that's horrible.
Guys are going up to girls and saying, "Hey, do you want to go catch Pokemon together?" And if you were a single girl and a decent looking guy asked you that, you would totally go, wouldn't you?
Oh yeah, of
right?
course. It's, and actually,
if he's obviously playing,
my most recent Instagram post is me out at Balboa Park, looking all like, you know, pretty and dolled up, catching Pokemon. And I saw so many people, yeah, of course, walking in twos, threes, groups. It's the perfect, like, entertainment on a date, I feel like, to just have an excuse to walk
yeah,
into places and entertain. If you can't entertain each other, the game is entertaining you both. That's
absolutely, yep. It's funny. So I'm a big MMA guy, and this last weekend or something, some guy threw a flying knee. It's all over the internet. He flying knee knocked the other dude out, like cracked his skull open. It's really bad, actually.
Whoa,
he's in the hospital.
That's not cool.
But he ran off. He grabbed a Ash's hat. He put it on. Grabbed a Pokeball and rolled it onto like the guy that's not getting up. He didn't know how fucked up he was, but he
oh
rolled the Pokeball and then did the like you know, what Ash does, like the peace sign.
Holy
and like,
shit.
Yeah. Now, meanwhile, yes, he won by flying knee and he's caught up in the moment. And any other day, it would have been fine. But that guy now is in the hospital with brain swelling and they can't stop it. But he had known none of this. Like, the Pokemon thing was awesome, but it just so happened that he really hurt this guy.
Oh, man. Yeah,
it was crazy.
Hmm.
Yeah.
That's a sad story.
It is. Moving on.
Okay, so we talked about Divinity Original Sin, but we also played a little Sven Co-op.
Yeah, we should have talked about this right after Black Mesa, because it's...
Yeah, speaking of Half-Life 1 original graphics, this game uses it. Sven Co-op.
Go for it, Bobby.
This is the second time that we played this game, and I didn't really... I don't know. I got more of a grasp of what it was about and what we were supposed to do, but I didn't really enjoy it.
The first time... we didn't give it its just due. So but you know, we played like one round and it was really confusing. We didn't even get to shoot a gun. So I was like, I think we should give this another shot. So basically what it is, Half-Life 1 graphics, people can create their own levels and then groups of people go and try to play through that level and beat it. So you're playing co-op versus, you know, all the Half-Life 1 bad guys.
Yeah. Well, there's different forms of the co-op. There's ones where you go through different levels, and there's ones, I think we played two or three different ones. There was one that was really difficult, but basically to me, it seemed like the poor man's Garry's Mod.
Okay. That's cool.
Exactly what it is.
Garry's Mod is huge. I've never played it myself. I've watched some videos. I've watched people play it in front of me. And it really is one of those things where you create your own entertainment. And this seems cool, especially since, or to me, like with StarCraft, for instance, instead of just, legitimate like 1v1s or, you know, like 2v2 battles, I love, what was that campaign? What is it called? Campaign mode, where it was all different modded.
And what?
In StarCraft and Warcraft, they have those extra campaign modes where you could play.
By the community?
Yeah, by the community games.
Yeah, that's kind of like what this is. It's a lot like Dungeons & Dragons for Half-Life 1, let's say. So, yeah, that's pretty much all it is. But it pretty much sucks, right, Bobby?
Yeah, like I said, Garry's Mod is all this and more, and with better graphics, and just not even the graphics, but like the collision. How many times do we get bunched up trying to get past each other? Yeah. You can't tell who's who. Like, it is straight up Half-Life 1 graphics. It's a free game, though.
We played three different maps. Two of them were no fun at all, and the third one was moderately fun. So,
yeah.
How long did you spend on this?
Yeah, maybe about an hour.
Maybe.
But within an hour, you see everything that this game has to offer. Like,
okay.
Yeah.
Because the tools that the Dungeon Master has are very limited with this.
There was one level that we had played, and nobody knew what to do at the end of it. We're all running around asking each other, what do we do? What do we do? And then...
I was the one.
Were you the one?
Yeah, I had a pistol, and I was just like, this is so stupid. I got frustrated, and I was shooting the computer, and the computer broke. And I was like, oh, we're supposed to shoot the computers. And everybody started. We were running around for at least 5 minutes trying to figure it out.
That's hilarious.
That kind of throws back to old games where you don't know what the hell you're supposed to do.
Like, so you end up shooting everything.
Yeah.
I feel like, especially in co-op games, and this, the whole feeling of nostalgia. I grew up with a big brother 2 years older than me, and he got me into video gaming. And we both had our parts in co-op games where we had our strengths and our weaknesses. And I think, I was both him and I, like he was more skill based. I was definitely more of a mastermind. We even played single player RPGs together where I would help him kind of guide him through different things if he felt stuck or anything at all. But then I was so young at the time too. I could barely handle a controller.
It's good having a second head around anyway, just for a different point of view.
So is this what Sven co-op is? I mean, do you need like, is it just like side by side?
I
know in Divinity obviously you guys have different roles, and
this one everybody's the same.
Everyone's just the same. Okay, just
You choose a skin and that's about it. You keep changing your skin so nobody knows who they are, so you have to put their mouse cursor over you, and then it says in little tiny letters who that is.
I never even noticed that. Where is that, Bobby, at the bottom?
It's on the left. It's kind of transparent, so it's very difficult to tell who's...
We've already spent too much time on this game. It's not worth even the free download.
Yeah.
So Humble Bundle has a really... I had to bring this up, and it's all through... So once you hear this, there's plenty of time to go get this. These are just some of the games you're going to get for $15. Well, 15 is when you unlock Rocket League, which you should own already. If you don't own it, definitely go buy this. But you're going to get Spelunky, which was PC Gamer's game of the year like 3 years ago. Nidhogg, which is a really good co-op game.
Versus. Yeah.
Just fun for like 10 minutes.
Yeah, arcade jousting game.
Yeah, you're getting Roller Robot Disco Dodgeball, which we brought up the other day, and that's fun. A bunch of, and there was like three or four other games besides these, but these were the standouts. I thought for $15, Rocket League is worth $15 alone. So, and you're getting all these other games. So
Spelunky is a puzzle game. Is that correct?
Spelunky is like,
it's a platformer.
Yeah, it's like Super Mario kind of.
Oh, okay.
And a little bit of roguelike.
Mm-hmm. As for Rocket League, let's say for the Humble Bundle, you own 2-3 games already. What happens to that?
You get a key for them so you can give them to somebody else, or you could sell them on G2A like I've done in the past.
Okay. So when you purchase something, even though you already own it, you still get it. It just doesn't override. Okay. That's great.
Yeah. You get a copy of it.
And also, if that game happens to be on like Android, you get it for Android as well. Oh. So let's say it's a puzzle game. Like, let's say there was Puzzle Quest on here. You'd get Puzzle Quest on your phone as well for the same price.
And I didn't realize that for the longest time. I buy a lot off of Humble Bundle. And I downloaded the Humble Bundle app. I'm up to like 86 games on my phone that I can just download and play at any time. That's how I got Hitman Go, Lara Croft Go, what's the one with Manny, the skeleton...
Grim Fandango.
Grim Fandango.
Got on your phone?
Yeah. I was playing it on the plane. Yeah.
I'm like all shocked, like it has the greatest graphics ever. Meanwhile, it's like...
A phone can do that? But yeah, also Golf with Your Friends is in this package too, and that's one I'm kind of interested in. Skull Girls, not School Girls.
What's on your mind there?
Yeah, what is on your mind, Bobby?
But they also give you the soundtracks to these as well most of the time too, which is a nice little touch. Like, they give you the whole package. Humble Bundle is definitely, out of all the bundle sites, and I know all of them, Humble Bundle is definitely the one when it comes to quality.
And the way you get to select, if somehow you've never bought it from Humble Bundle, say it was $10 that you spend. There's a slide bar where you can say where all the dollars go. You can give the developers all the money. You can give Humble Bundle all the money. You can give a charity all your money, or you can divide it however you want with these sliders. It's the easiest thing in the world. Mm-hmm. And
yeah, it's all for charity.
It's just great.
And this episode really is not brought to you by Humble Bundle, by the way.
It is not. I wish it was.
And we were sponsored by anything.
Yeah. They do stuff with Games Done Quick, which I mentioned a week or two ago. They're a big part of that as well.
Where are we at on the timer, Bobby?
About 55 minutes.
Cool. Perfect.
Yeah. Right on track.
Awesome. Gary Busey is going to be the elusive target in a new upcoming Hitman Go.
That's great.
Or Hitman level. So the way Hitman was put out is, you know, every couple of months they're going to be putting out these new areas. And what I got from the areas that I played, or maps, however you want to say it, is that the amount of work that went into each one of them. So one's like a fashion show, and there's all these like stories going on, but the replayability is super high because your target changes. It could be anybody. Mm-hmm. The very easiest thing is it's the bouncer at the front. You just kill him and you walk out and you're good. The very hardest is like the guy who's running the whole fashion show. So you can, and these things are so rich and robust with story and dialogue and everything. You want to play over and over because you're like, oh, maybe if I go this way, I can get a little bit more of that story that's going on during this. Because there's like, I'll just keep bringing up the fashion show because it was my favorite one. But there's obviously some art thieves there, and you walk by them while you're on your way to your target. Like, what's going on there? There's some other things going on the other side. And I always wanted to know what ended up happening with that. There's a guy arguing with his girlfriend on the phone. Uh-huh. And it's just like, and as you're playing different with different targets, different things are getting unlocked. So anyway, one of these new ones coming out, I don't know what the setting's going to be, but Gary Busey's going to be the target. And he's so weird. Like, even
who is Gary Busey?
What?
Wow.
I don't know him. This is probably the biggest question.
Oh, my God. Is there a record we can scratch?
Millennialist. I'm sorry.
Wow. Have you ever seen
anything ever?
Anything he's the ever. Crazy guy. Yeah.
Yeah, he's the crazy guy in anything ever.
I'm horrible.
Big white teeth.
Have you, okay, have you ever seen that Steven Seagal movie or Black Sheep with David Spade and the fact
that... Probably never seen Black Sheep.
Can we Google image Gary Busey?
Yeah, you'll recognize him when you see him.
He was in Entourage a lot as the crazy guy.
Oh, him!
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, he is fucking crazy.
Yeah, he's crazy, so...
Okay, I didn't know his
name. I thought it was a really interesting choice because you would think that your elusive target is going to be like a demure, quiet guy. This guy's going to be making so much noise.
According to the article, people got to vote whether it was going to be Gary Cole or Gary Busey. And
I don't know who Gary Cole is.
Gary Cole.
I just know the meme.
Oh, Coleman.
No, not Gary Coleman. Coleman.
Oh.
At fucking Google with their auto thing.
They wouldn't get away with that.
Yeah, Gary Coleman, you could never hear. He's too small. he's on auto duck.
Yeah, he was he was the boss in Office Space. Everyone knows him from that.
I feel like Gary Busey or Busey. How do you?
Gary Busey.
Gary Busey. To see him pixelated.
Barry Husey?
To see him pixelated, like that face is just one worthy of a kill.
You know? Yeah,
I feel
sure.
like his mouth.
Yeah.
Well, you know what I've heard is that Gary Busey is like that because of a motorcycle accident or a car accident, right? Like he was totally normal. I don't know.
How does he still get work?
Well, because he's like a crazy guy and he kind of plays into that too. He's very self-aware. So, you know, doing something like this is great for him. I mean, he kind of plays into that stereotype. So, yeah, I don't know. I love when they integrate stuff like real world stuff into that. Payday 2 tried doing this too with some DJ and also with... that movie that came out with Keanu Reeves. John something.
John Wick.
John Wick. Yeah. Oh. They brought that character into the game. They had Kevin Spacey in a Call of Duty. Like, it's becoming more common to see real world people or characters in video games.
Outside of sports games.
So, yeah, exactly. Good. Let's see.
The Star Wars.
Yeah, so Star Wars Battlefront has their Death Star expansion coming out. And why aren't we playing this, Bobby? Is it that bad? It can't be that bad.
No, it's just not that good. I don't know. I have interest in playing this game. If we're on sale, like heavily discounted, I'd probably pick it up. I think this Death Star expansion could make the game, though. I mean, that sounds very cool.
Do you want to play that trailer? It's like only a minute long. We can talk through it. Yeah, it's just like they had their Endor expansion not that long ago, and that looked gorgeous. And I had fun playing the beta. The graphics are amazing. I think we should be playing it, or I don't know, but then Overwatch exists.
Aren't we off the overhype train, though? I haven't touched it.
I definitely am. I got some opinions on Overwatch, but I'm not going to bring them up. They don't really give away in this trailer.
Ever since Competitive came out, and I felt like there was really no... Yeah. I felt like there was no justice to just understanding what my playability... Like, I have a hard time understanding how good or how bad I am at Overwatch, just because it's
makes you feel awesome all the time.
Or very frustrated at everyone.
That game tries very hard to make everybody feel awesome. Like, the official statement from Blizzard is everything is overpowered, right?
Right.
So
exactly.
That, I don't know. I feel like every time I die, the person who killed me is undeserving of that victory. Or every time I kill somebody, I don't get that sense
But then you're back in 2 seconds.
Yeah, I don't know. If I played only quick match, it'd be better. But the ranked play, I do not enjoy at all.
And you were just the opposite a month ago. You were like, oh, I can't wait for this ranked play.
Yeah, I was really looking forward to it. I am looking forward now to the changes they're making to ranked play, where they're only going to have, is it two of the same hero? You can only have two?
No, it's one per team.
Okay, one per team.
I believe, yeah.
So you can't have five tracers. You can't diva rush the point. You can't do any of that cheesy stuff
in
competitive.
I love that.
Yeah.
Five Winstons is a lot of fun.
Yeah, I was I tried to do my placement in matches. Was that last night, Bobby? No, the night before last. Mm-hmm. And I was playing with Bobby and Lab Monkey, which are good. I'm going to get carried. And we stomped the first four games. I'm like, this is fucking child's play.
That's awesome.
And then the fifth game, like, and by the way, even when we were winning, Bobby could not sound more bored. He's just like, okay. So
I think when we go home tonight, we should all play a game together. Like, I still haven't played games with Bobby. I don't know what else you're doing tonight.
No, I'm down.
We can play.
I want you to play Vermintide really badly.
Rim World?
Vermintide.
Vermintide.
We're not going to rim job after this. No, I'm just
kidding. Yes! Human centipede, DL gaming style.
Wait, so Vermintide.
My God.
What? It's not gay if the girl's in the middle.
Oh, my God. Let me check the time here. I'm going to cut that.
This is awful.
Hour three. All right. But I'm looking for, when are these changes coming though? Cause they're making a hell of a lot of changes to Overwatch.
Yeah,
balance changes and also changes to ranked play.
Yeah. A lot of people, D.Va's getting nerfed. I mean, getting boosted like crazy. Roadhog's getting nerfed. I'm fucking pissed about that.
Roadhog, he is very tanky. It takes a lot to take.
They're nerfing his ultimate though. They say it's up too often, which I can agree with. And it's a very powerful one. So yeah, they're making balance changes across the board. We'll see. I'll definitely dive into it and check it out when they do that and see if it's changed, especially the ranked play. But I don't know. My hopes are not high. I think there are some fundamental issues that I have with that game, and it's not problems with it. It's just things that I don't like.
Satellite Rain is now going to have 4-player online co-op. And, the reason that I put this on here is because I've always really wanted to play Satellite Rain. Chad really liked it. It's turn-based combat, strategic combat, you know, a la XCOM. He really liked the story. It's always has really good ratings. And now it's 4-player online co-op. Maybe this might be the first game that we can play through all together. As a podcast
crew.
So you
said it's a co-op XCOM?
Exactly. Yep. And I guess the world is real rich and, you know.
Hopefully characters don't die off so easily.
Let's hope not.
No,
hopefully really we won't be conducting electricity through Chad's blood that he left on the floor.
No, this game does look good. If it's 4-player co-op, I'm definitely down to check that out. I may actually pick it up right now while it's on sale.
Yeah, so what's the four? Is there a 4-pack now? Oh,
they have the no 4-pack. They
dropped the ball.
$15 for the game, yeah. $20 for the deluxe. Deluxe includes soundtrack, novella, and an art book.
Yeah,
not interested. But yeah, definitely looking forward to that.
Let's see what else. We already covered Lovely Planet. Terry Crews, if you don't know who he is, he's the guy on the Old Spice commercials. He plays all the instruments with his pecs.
My favorite role that he's ever played was in White Chicks.
Was he a girl?
No, he wasn't the girl. He was just like some rich and famous dude that fell in love with one of the Wayne brothers. Yeah.
He plays a lot of bit parts. He is hilarious in whatever he's in. He's got a big part in Brooklyn Nine-Nine, which is a show I've watched occasionally. He's pretty funny in that, but
he's just,
yeah. It's a more serious role he plays. And Brooklyn Nine-Nine isn't serious at all, but mm-hmm. I feel like it tames down his character.
He kind of plays a straight man in that.
Yeah. Compared to like what he normally
is. He was at something because I watched him playing Battlefield 1 and I was like, is that Terry Crews? And he's playing on a keyboard and mouse. And I'm like, holy shit, dude. Like he looks like he knows what he's doing. Like, is he a gamer?
Yeah. So I just, I think on, it's weird his choice of, social media for this, but on Facebook, he's been, cataloging his purchasing, building and, everything from the ground up of his PC. And now he's totally all in on the PC master race.
Oh, that's amazing.
So he's building his computer.
He's going to join Twitch? That would be great.
Dude, if Terry Crews streamed, I'd watch that.
With his shirt off? Fuck yeah. Oh, wait, what?
No, you're not allowed to do that on Twitch, I don't think.
No.
Wait, boys can't do it?
Boys can't be shirtless anymore.
Yeah, can't be shirtless.
But it's just amazing. Those arms.
I've been pantless
on a keyboard,
every time.
I wonder if he's going to have.
I just
want to
see him get mad and
Chi, calm down. Where's your other hand, Chi?
No, but Terry Crews, if you've got the grace to handle a mouse and the WASD keys.
Well, I'm surprised we don't see more people going to Twitch and kind of building a following or community there, because I have seen some not really famous people, but who's the guy that sang Chocolate Rain? Tay Zonde.
He plays
Heroes of the Storm. One day I was flipping through streams on mm-hmm. Twitch for Hots, and there he is playing.
I've seen,
playing that game.
For instance, Tobuscus. He is huge on YouTube, but Twitch, he doesn't get as many views as some of the Twitch stars on there. So.
Twitch is like a completely different environment from YouTube and mm-hmm. like podcasting and like everything else. Like it's just, it's got its own culture.
You guys won't even
is.
Like, so the greatest pound for pound fighter in the world, ranked by everybody in the world, that if everybody votes right now, he's 125 pounds. He's in the UFC. He's been the champion for probably 5-6 years. He Twitch streams all the time. He shouts it out all the time. Not, I mean, he's doing okay, but not the numbers you would think. And also, as a fighter, he doesn't get the draw. And I think it has to do with him being 125 pounds. He's just like a really Mighty Mouse Johnson is his name.
Okay.
And you guys have probably never, you guys know John Jones. You've heard his name.
I'm a girl now.
Anyway, you've heard these fighters. This guy, nobody knows about, but everybody considers him the best fighter in the world. And on Twitch, he doesn't get his just due either. I just feel bad for the guy.
Yeah, and especially for a lot of the professional gamers out there, you think there are some that are really successful on Twitch, and there are some that literally get a lot less action than me. And even myself, I know my way around Twitch. I'm not very consistent, but I think that I could have a higher viewership. I think my content, my material deserves a higher viewership than what I've earned.
For sure. I mean, so for all those that are listening, Chi needs a lot more action.
Yeah. Only on Twitch.
Oh,
everything, everywhere else I'm taken care of.
Oh, sorry.
Okay. Vowed to take action against CSGO gambling sites. Are they?
That's what it's posted. I only read headlines, man. You can click the link if you like. I mean, posted
it. I know it says that there,
Control
but this is 5 days ago. I don't know. I heard things were going back and forth on this. Like, originally they were going to take action and then they weren't. Like, I kind of almost don't want to talk about this because I feel like we aren't going to do it justice. And I've heard so many other people kind of explain the story a lot better, but we talked about it a little last week.
Let's just stick with the headline then for now.
Okay.
And nobody can.
Headline culture. We're reinforcing it.
Yep. This is us.
Don't worry about details, people. Just read the headline and react.
Yeah. Fuck yeah. Fuck them.
And then go on a riot with
more power to
animals.
Them.
Let us offer you just a tip.
So I've never liked sports my whole life. And constantly as a man in life, guys bring up sports all the time.
Of course.
So I came up with a phrase to kind of like, no matter what they bring up, it'll, just one phrase to cover a blanket statement that will, no matter what they bring up, it's the appropriate response. And I came up with more power to them.
More power to them.
Yeah. So it'd be like, hey, how about those Pirates last weekend? More power to them. Hey, what about, damn, our Chargers lost, huh? Hey, more power to them.
It's applicable
everywhere.
Yeah.
Everywhere, everybody.
I don't know.
So all you nerds out there.
That's just like one of those things can work for anything, but I don't know.
That would definitely be helpful because I work in a sports bar.
Yes.
So.
Yeah.
What I do is I regurgitate information. So like I'll be over at my girlfriend's parents and her dad's like, how about these Padres? Oh my God, the pitching, what's going on? And then I'll be somewhere else and someone's like, hey, how about those Padres? And I'm just like, the pitching, man. What the hell? So you gotta kind of look at it like that. You gotta regurgitate information.
Oh, man. Is that what it's like?
Yeah.
You're like Bishop the X-Men.
Real world struggles of the male in today's society.
Sports.
All sports.
And the only person that knows anything about sports on this podcast is not here today.
Do you want to know my reiteration of like commenting on sports? This is what I say every single time when someone brings up sports. I'm like, I'm a girl that's already into video games. If I were into sports too, I might as well just pull up my dick.
Yeah, for sure. It'd be too much.
It would be way too much.
I don't know. There's a lot of girls that are in sports,
but not also
video games too.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think that
you're
talking about.
Do they look like lesbians?
I don't know.
Oh, I have a question. So, if there's a Pegasus with a horn. Is that a unicorn or
this
Pegasus?
This is really getting off the rails here.
we're going to wrap it up right now. Is it a Pegasus or a unicorn? Anyone?
What's the question?
If the Pegasus had a horn on it, is it a unicorn?
Pegasus has wings. Unicorns do not.
Correct. I'm saying if you saw a Pegasus with a horn, would it primarily be a unicorn? Or would you say it's a unicorn or a Pegasus?
Neither of those exist. Irrelevant question.
You're so not fun, Bobby. All right, let's wrap this one up. No, it's not a joke. I was really curious about this.
Three Pegasi walk into a bar.
And somebody say, why are you guys all horny? Oh, that's not even the right one. Yeah. Damn it.
Go laugh at yourself, Emilio. Go laugh at yourself.
Better wrap this up before it gets any worse.
All right. So, speaking for Chi, speaking for Bobby, titties. Everybody, happy titties, everyone.
Happy titties.